Welcome to Chat and Flicks, the movie and TV podcast. I'm your host, Carl Pierce, and today we have Richard Ellen.
Hello.
And today's episode, we are talking about UK-based police dramas.
Hello.
Hello.
We can't do hello.
No, we can't
although do it's brilliant. But
it is good, So, our criteria is, as just basically said, it's got to be UK-based.
Yep.
It's got to be about the police.
Yep.
And it's got to be a bit of a drama. So, we've just been talking then about some of the... like the comedy shows, like the Thin Blue Line with Rowan Atkinson.
Well, we could do them another time, which is what's brilliant about this podcast.
We can do what we want.
So we're not like anti-America.
No, well, we're going to do American one.
But we will do American one, but we want to spread it out for you guys.
We do. And I was thinking about another, I'm going to mention it, I've just mentioned it to Richard off here, is Operation Good Guys is absolutely
sort of a spoof.
Yeah, and they sort of, they do it improv. So there's like a sort of rough... storyline, but they just play it by ear.
Right.
Like, bit like us, bit like our podcast.
Do you not script it like I do?
I even this do word not here. Script this. No, it says here. right. So, what makes a good?
Well, I'm
BBC,
just...
not BBC. What makes a good police?
Well, it's got to be BBC it's for some.
Has it though?
Well. Ooh. I don't know, and I'm wondering, because there's one that we're going to talk about. I know we're going to talk about it, because I've seen it on your secret list. And it's one that But I'm wondering now, if I went back and watched it, would it be good?
Mm.
So I think grittiness, it's... I don't want to... You know, it's that stereotypical word when you come to police dramas, gritty.
Yeah.
It's got to be gritty, and I don't know
realism.
Why, but... Yeah, because it's not probably the most pleasant job, is it? On so many levels.
Mm.
A little bit like teaching. But, yeah, what they're dealing with. And you'll probably get police, real police, watching it thinking, this is awful, this is a load of rubbish. It's got not, it's not. Because I do that with teaching dramas when I used to teach. And I look at these things and I thought, that is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I watched that Waterloo Road and thought, no, this is pathetic. But it's not, you've got to think it's entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's keeping the other people, the non-police folk, entertained.
Mm.
I think we've got to start with one from the 80s, 90s, 20s.
Is that one there?
That one there.
So it is...
What was it about?
It's the first one that came to mind.
Yeah,
it's
me
the,
too.
The Bill.
It was just the only thing, from what I remember, at that time when I was growing up, that was police. Apart from maybe something we may talk about later, which is Prime Suspect or something like that.
Yeah,
but
possibly.
The Bill, we could watch at 8 o'clock every single day. Just brilliant.
Yeah. And it, sometimes, right, so I was thinking good. Because sometimes it was like, they'd done half an hour episodes. Sometimes they'd done hour episodes. It changed over the years, didn't it?
And it was just a standalone. And then they started elongating them. Then the storylines started getting crossed over between. I just liked that standalone episode, half an hour. But if I went back and watched one, would it still be good?
Well, they are on yesterday, you know, the channel yesterday.
Oh, yesterday, I missed. Oh, sorry.
Not yesterday, sorry. They probably were on yesterday. But, no, it's... I went and watched a few, like, you know, when you're flicking through one of them. And you know what? I was still hooked. I was still hooked. Some of the acting is terrible. And it's very tame, you know. Obviously, there's no swearing. I remember... it was probably the first time I heard the word bastard on telly. I remember that. I was like, wow, what are they saying that? But yeah, it's very tame. It's not like sort of very, like I say, gritty. There's not much grit to it. It's all very standard police work. You
right,
know,
right.
There's shoplifters or...
scroats.
You know, scroats.
Are
there probably scroats, I don't know. But it's things like that, you know. There's not really no big mad police chases. Though I think eventually they did do things like that, didn't they?
Mm.
He went a bit Hollywood with it.
It started, and... Maybe is that when I grew out of it, or did I just start watching other stuff? But I can't remember. I'm trying to think. But if you go onto IMDb and look at the cast, all of these people who you've grown up with, or like Reg Hollis, all of a sudden they've been part of your childhood. It's like, oh yeah, I remember Reg. He was a bit dopey and stuff. And all the DCI,
there's loads
Bob Cryer, and then his
Garfield, PC Garfield.
Yeah, all those
Sergeant
names.
Boyden.
And they just come back to you, and it's like, yep, I know everything about them. She was nice. I had the hots for her.
WPC
Data.
Data.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, she was lovely.
She
is
Data
lovely.
In the UK. but
Polly.
Yeah.
Do you remember Polly came Polly, in?
Yeah. There you go.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Reggie Baby. Who's not like Reggie Baby? That's the Scouser, what's his face from Bruce? He was in it, wasn't he? Was it Barry Grant? I don't know the actor's
Rings
name.
A bell.
And he ended up being like Reg Hollis's partner.
See, right.
It wasn't necessarily about the crime. That was obviously the crime of the week. It was about relationships between the people.
There was a lot.
It was a bit soap opera. Yeah. It was a bit like a soap opera, wasn't it? Because, you know, it was on a couple of times a week.
I know the fella you're talking about. Yeah, because he was a little bit. We didn't know if he was a bit dodgy or not.
Yeah.
But maybe it is time to revisit it. But there's so much stuff on at the moment that we still need to cover, and there's so much that. Police dramas, I mean, I mentioned to you before, there's another one that I'm desperate to watch, but I'm not going to talk about it yet. When we're finished with The Bill, we'll go on to it.
With The Bill as well, if you go back and watch it, when you watch the later episodes before it got cancelled or whatever, they changed the way it was filmed. Mm. So it looked a bit more like Americanized, but the like a bit glossy, but the actual acting and stuff wasn't
still
it still looked, and you can just tell it's not great. This, it was good for what it was.
Mm.
It's not gonna, you know, they're not gonna win awards. I think they probably did win awards in the other time, but you know, they're not gonna win acting awards and things like that. It was a soap opera. It was quick turnaround. Here's a quick sip, you know, walking through the corridors, gonna say this dialogue, whatever, go out in the car, whatever. But yeah, it was good, and I liked that it was the low level coppers. It wasn't like about murders every weekend. Though you had that thing on, you know, you had where there'd be like a, you know, robbery or a bank robbery, you know, things like that. It had them episodes. But I liked it when it was just, here's the police on the Bobby on the beat. If you like, I just want to see them getting chasing people who were, you know, spraying paint on the walls, you know, stupid things like that. That's what I want to be seeing. The Bill. It was good back in the day. Liked it.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Go on, what were you going
to
say?
So, the one that I've never seen and I'm desperate to watch it is Inspector Morse.
Oh, yeah.
Because for it to last that long, and now I'm getting older and I'm liking gardening and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Knitting. You like knitting as well, don't you?
Carl. I'm thinking that I this is the really sad thing why I'd probably like it, is I'm going to appreciate the architecture of Oxford and just the place itself. But I want to give Inspector Morse a go. Mm. And of course the car. Can't you know, not say
what that. Is the car? Is it Rolls?
Mark II Jag.
Oh, Jag, there you go.
Oh, lovely car. Have you seen it?
I don't know.
Oh, it's... so we can't really bounce things around about it, because it spawned Lewis and did it get another one?
And it,
Endeavour,
which is a prequel.
The prequel.
Yeah. I never really got into Morse as a kid. Like, I remember being on as a kid and I wasn't bothered by it. It didn't look interesting at all. But I believe, you know, what's his name? John Thor, was it?
Yeah.
John Thor is an absolute unbelievable actor. We're going to talk about him a bit more later on as well. And yeah, I know Lorna loves it. Lorna loves Morse. Then she watched Lewis. Mm. And she loved Endeavour. I don't think she watched all the Endeavour episodes in the end, but yeah, she did love Endeavour. So Endeavour's set in the 60s, is it?
Must be
60s,
or maybe earlier.
Where he's like he's a Bobby on the beat, and then he becomes a detective and so on. And yeah, they were really good. Apparently, as I say, didn't watch it myself. IMDb, it's 8.2, so it's decent. You know what I mean?
But what I'm surprised at is it's gone for 13 years, but only 33 episodes. I thought it was like loads.
Yeah.
Loads of episodes. Knew it went on for a long time.
Yeah.
But I would have thought more episodes than that.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, what's his name? Kevin Whiteley, was it? He was
Lewis.
And then you've got a few other people who don't know
there's
names of. Recognised faces.
More episodes of Lewis than there are Morse.
Yeah, he went a bit further, didn't he? Because he obviously, he made Lewis after he died, didn't he?
Yes, yeah.
And Inspector Morse's first name?
Endeavour.
Yeah, there you go. And did you know the clue to it? The clue that was there for years, like absolute years, no one knew.
If you say, I probably know, but go on.
So at the end of every episode, because obviously his name's Morse, there was Morse code at the end of every episode, and it spelt out the name, Endeavour.
Did I know that? I wonder if I knew that.
Yeah.
But somebody must have deciphered that Morse code.
You would have thought
years
so.
Ago.
You would have thought so.
So but hang on.
I don't know whether it was on every episode. There was definitely Morse code every episode.
There's Morse code at the start on the music.
Maybe that's what I'm on about, yeah. So maybe it was the last episode he'd done it. I don't know. But it was definitely revealed via Morse code anyway.
Brilliant.
Yeah, good stuff. So yeah, so have you seen them, have you? Any of them at all?
Not a single. When they were on Donkeys years ago, the 80s and 90s, They may have been on the telly, but I'd never watched them. But I mean, going back to what you were saying, it didn't interest us back then.
Yeah,
and that's why I want to give it another go, because I've aged like a fine wine. and maybe I'll appreciate it more.
Yeah, I won't be going back to them. I
watched Gardener's World. It's brilliant.
Is it?
It's fantastic. Monty made me do it. And
I do get what you mean, because I'll watch something like, you know, where they redesigned the gardens. And they've got to pitch it to the house owner.
Yes, yeah.
I do watch that sometimes. I go, well, this is quite good, actually. And you do get some good ideas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe I'm getting old. Right, well, talking about John Thor.
Yes.
One I'm going to mention, which is totally different to Inspector Morse. And again, it's sort of, it's that, not quite Bobby on the Beat, but is The Sweeney.
So, never seen it.
Before my time, obviously, because it was out in the 70s. But my dad loves it.
Mm.
And, you know, I got him, like, DVDs of it and things. And it's always been on the telly. You know, I think it's on yesterday, in fact.
I missed it.
Probably yesterday. So, yeah, again, John Thor plays Detective Inspector Jack Regan. And he's got his partner, played by Dennis Waterman, George Carter. And basically, the Sweeney are, like, a sort of...
Are they like a CID before CID was?
A bit like, well, it's called the Flying Squad. So basically, they go and deal with the major crimes in London. It says London Metropolitan Police. But yeah, it's more to do with like their methods.
Yeah.
So they are very gruff. They don't take any shit from anyone. You know, they'll give someone a dig if they're not cooperating, all that sort of thing. It's all against like sort of police policy.
Yeah.
But they get the job done. They get a job done, but they get a job done dirty. And that's what I love about it. It went from 1974 to 78. There was 54 episodes, and it's one of them. Like, you just stick it on, and it's just a bit of nostalgia. It just it looks amazing. The cars are great. It's all 70s cars.
Well, maybe give that a good. Go as well.
Yeah.
See, this is why I love chat and flicks.
Yeah.
It's because it's like bringing up things. It's like, yep, I need to give that a watch.
Yeah.
Have we confirmed if it's on yesterday? It's on Prime Video, it says.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah. Series 1 to 4, well, that's all of it, isn't it?
Yeah, probably, it I would imagine, yeah. There was a couple of films as well. So there's a film called Regan, obviously about him. Mm-hmm. I think that might have been the original sort of starter for it. And then there's been a couple of films of Sweeney. There you go, Sweeney and Sweeney 2.
Was there a recent one?
There was a recent,
recent
remake with Ray Winston.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And it was all right, but it wasn't amazing. You know what I mean? It was watchable.
I think it needs to be kept in that era. And if we try and redo it, it'll be seen to be maybe not PC.
Yeah.
Especially if it's made now, and it's sort of, they're trying to allude to what was okay, air quotes, in that time, which isn't okay, but...
Yeah. It wasn't okay at the time, but it was frowned upon.
Yeah,
like all
yeah.
the, you know, the beatings and the things like that. I don't think it worked. It wouldn't work today, would it?
Because no. But having said that,
everyone's scrutinised too much.
Having said that, what about Life on Mars?
That was my next one. I was going to say.
Well,
smoothly,
I didn't know that.
Nice and smooth.
Nice segue.
Because that's the idea behind Life on Mars: is how can you make The Sweeney or a program like The Sweeney modern?
Yeah.
And that was the premise of it. That's why it's set in the '70s. And they threw in the sci-fi element, if you like.
Yeah.
So go on, what's the premise of Life on Mars, for those who don't know?
Well, I've only seen...
Have you not watched it?
I think I've seen most of the series. I don't know how many series.
Two series.
I don't know how, but he's in an accident and he wakes up and he's in the 70s. And like everybody's carrying on as normal. He's the only person who realises that he's not in the right... timeline, and he kind of figures out, well, he tries to figure out why. Now I can't.
No spoilers.
No, I do now remember. Although I've not finished it, I know what the spoiler is. Yeah.
Yeah. So Sam Tyler, he's the main character. He's played by John Sim, Philip Glistener. Glistener, is that right?
Glistener.
Glistener. Sorry, that's how
he's pronounced. And he's Gene like
Hunt,
straight out
DCI
of Sweeney.
Gene Hunt.
That's going back to all those. Beatings, as you know, if we say that, it's not good, but that's what they did to get the job done back then. But John Sims, very much, you can't do that, and those methods don't
very
work.
Modern.
But then he gradually comes around the way of thinking about, it gets the job done.
It's a bit of both, isn't it? The two of them, sometimes you've got to play by the rules, sometimes you've got to bend the rules a little bit. Yeah, so I mean, the premise of the show, as you say, is he's in an accident. Has he gone back in time? Is he just dreaming? Is it something
else?
And
we as the viewer haven't got a clue.
Absolutely not.
Ages.
Not till, well, even the last episode doesn't all give all the facts. But yeah, superb show. And it's basically a remake of The Sweeney.
Mm.
Basically, you know, having that 70s feel and all that, as you say, the bending rules idea.
Yeah.
Which then spawned a sequel, which was Ashes to Ashes. Again, very similar premise. Without giving too much away, this one was set in the 80s.
Mm.
But again, same thing. You've got a police officer, I can't remember her name, played by Keely Hawes. It is DCI Alex Drake, who, again, is... I think she gets shot.
Mm.
She gets shot in the line of duty and then ends up going... That's not the link. Ends up going back in time to the 80s and meets Gene Hunt, who ends up being her DCI. And it's a very similar process of she's trying to figure out what's going on while solving 80s crimes with a lot of the same characters. And yeah, it's just as good as Life on Mars. I do prefer Life on Mars, to be honest, but it's fantastic. And you get more answers.
For Life on Mars?
Yeah.
Right.
There are answers to Life on Mars in
in
Ashes to Ashes. In fact, the big answer
right.
of what is actually going on. Now, there's talk of getting a sequel with Sam Tyler in it.
Right.
I hope it doesn't happen.
Right,
because
right.
I think it's perfect as it is. I think that the two series of Life on Mars, and I think the two series of Ashes to Ashes, might even be three, I think it's done. I think it's perfect. Leave it like that. Don't do anything to it.
But
you know what they're like.
I know what you mean.
You know what they're going to do. They're going to bring it back.
Well, they listen to the podcast, so here's our plea.
Mr. BBC. Because we know you listen, Mr. BBC.
And Mrs. BBC.
And Mrs. BBC, obviously. We don't want it. Just don't do it. But yeah, it's fantastic. And you know what? The soundtrack.
I was just going to say that.
For both of them, both series. Obviously, Life on Mars has...
70s stuff.
Yeah, David Bowie. You know, it starts with David Bowie's Life on Mars. And which alludes to, like, alludes to coppers doing... beating up the wrong guy, that sort of thing. Just like it's all linked in. Yeah, fantastic. I love it. Definitely watch it. Right, what else have we got?
I've seen what's on your list and you mentioned it a second ago, so I'm going to say straight away Luther. Because I'm not going to talk about what's on your list.
That's not my list.
We got into Luther. I know I've talked about this in what you've been watching. We got into Luther stupidly late.
Mm.
I think it was a recommendation from my dad and I loved it.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, it's a again, he's a little bit on... Well, no, he is very much so on the wrong side of the law a lot of the time, isn't he?
Yeah.
But it was fresh, it was new. There wasn't, as far as I remember, anything like it. What year are we talking about for
2010.
Luther? Right, so we probably only watched it maybe over COVID. So what was that, 2020? So 10 years later, we were so late to the game. And just to mention, there was there's a film that's only just been made this year, The Fallen Son, which was I think James. Do you remember James?
James Brown.
Yes, I think he's him, he talked about
he was
that
all right,
film.
Didn't he?
We love you, James. We know you listen, but we need.
Does he though? Do you know what? Don't say anything about this. Let's see if he tells us.
Oh yeah.
Let's see if he does listen.
So as far as I'm aware, Luther is now finished and over. I'm trying to think about the last season it may possibly be. But I loved the characters. I loved how he got on with people on the wrong side. It was brilliant. It was so good.
So what was most like the premise? Obviously, he's a copper. So Idris Elba plays... Is it John Luther? Is that right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I just think he got the job done.
Yeah.
It was just that there wasn't. It's not like there was a backstory like in Life on Mars.
Mm.
Maybe there was. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I just think it was him getting the jobs done.
Yeah.
And then later on, it started to become more of a storyline.
Well, I watched the first couple of episodes, maybe two, if even that many. I might even just watch the first episode. Loved it. Never picked it up again when it was on the telly. And I seem to remember about it being. There's a girl in it, isn't he? And he arrests her or something happens with her, but she's sort of stalking him.
Yeah, Ruth Wilson, I'm sure. Alice Morgan.
Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking, can there be another one? But equally, I'm starting to get a little bit confused at old age with something with else Gardner's that I World. Would like to bring up, Gardener's World.
The bit where he's in the garden, digging it up, digging up the yes. ponds and that. Yeah.
But I really liked it. And then there's a younger police officer who's trying to make out how corrupt he is. It's really good. I want to watch it again now.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's on my list to watch. And it's when I get around to it, isn't it?
And this is the problem.
I mean, I love Idris Elba. Like, we were talking about The Wire before we were on air as well. He's in that, isn't he? That's the first time I'd seen him. And he was brilliant. And I always thought he was American. And, you know, have I seen him in anything bad? I must have seen him in something bad. But I can't think what.
That's a good point.
He was the baddie in The Fast and the Furious, Hobbs and Shaw.
I've not seen that.
And,
so,
you know, he was good.
Don't know. He's in Thor. He's the gatekeeper type of thing.
Yeah. That's probably the worst thing, he's been in Thor, Dark World. But then again, it's not his fault. He was just, he was a side character. But him as an actor, he's fantastic.
He, like you say.
He's good in the Sky adverts. You know what I mean? Yeah. but yeah, Luther's definitely one to try out.
Oh, hang on. He was in Cats, which is currently.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. It's
2.8. 2.8
on IMDb. Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Idris, what's happened? Yeah. Have you seen Cats? Have you seen it?
No.
No. I feel like I need to see it just because
maybe
it looks
we
so bad.
I hate the phrase car crash film or car crash whatever. But as I've seen it being used more widely in other things now, we could have a car crash episode, you know, just things that are so bad. What,
yeah.
But I mean, Cats itself was... The actual musical, the stage musical, was massive, wasn't it? And how have they done so bad? And this is going back to when I talk about what makes a good story, what makes a good film. Clearly the story is good, but the film was shocking.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at the trailer, which it still gives me nightmares, those sort of half people, half cat CGI, it's so weird.
Not right.
It looks so weird. Yeah.
He was in Finding Dory as well.
Was he?
Yeah.
He played Shark. Is he
the
shot?
Fluke just says.
No,
fluke.
That is. Yeah, not sure.
But yeah, well done, Idris.
We still love you, Idris. We still love you. One thing on that, by the way, he was on The One Show talking about the film a couple months ago, and it spoiled the ending of the series, so I know exactly what happened at the end of the series, you know.
Ah.
But that is what it is. Never mind.
Death.
It is. All right. Shall I mention the one that you thought I was going to mention but didn't mention, and then you didn't mention
it, and I'm going to mention it now. Go for it.
So the big one for me, probably one of my all-time favourite programmes, is the Line of Duty. The Line of Duty, sorry. Line of Duty.
That's a different thing, isn't it?
Again, BBC.
Wow.
unbelievable.
And it's a little bit like what I said in the last episode, or it might not be the last episode, we don't know. It might be the next episode, is that so many things now are based on from the writers of Line of Duty, from the producers of Line of Duty, and they're still trying to use it.
They are.
But it was
such a big thing. I mean, I remember watching it on the telly, and not many people talk about it, and just thinking, this is brilliant. It was such a slow burner. You know, you didn't know who to trust.
You didn't know where you were.
Didn't know what was going on, like in terms of, like, you know, all the shenanigans, if you like. you know, you could follow the story, but you were like, can you trust them? Can you trust them? What's going on?
And when you think there was quite a lot of it, and it sounds boring, that was just in an interview room.
Yeah.
There was a lot
brilliant.
Of it. And the manipulation and the mind games and as the viewer, you just hadn't got a clue what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
And it's got to the point where Doc Cotton, the character in it,
yeah,
bit of a spoiler coming up. Ooh, so if you've not
careful.
Watched
be
it,
careful.
I can't trust him in anything anymore. If he is in, so he was in
Teachers.
Something I watched recently. No, as another copper, he was in recently, and it's just like he's bent. No, he's still bent. And I can't remember. I think it was Unforgotten. One of the biggies that I've talked about recently that I've really liked, he's in that, and I can't. No, he's always going to be dodgy in my eyes.
Yeah. Well, he was. I'm sure he was. Was it in? Was he in? He was in something else, like Teachers, like a sort of comedy drama. But he was horrible in that as well. But I can't think what it was. I'll have to have a look at what it was.
But then when you look at his IMDb picture, he's like, yay!
Oh, he's probably
a
lovely
fella. He's got a little
fella.
Funny hat on. And
I feel like I've walked past him somewhere. I feel like I've seen him somewhere. I was like, oh, he's at the Line of Duty. Sure, he was in town. What was he in? Misfits, that's what he was in, yeah.
Right.
He was a bit of a baddie in the Misfit. Like right. He was the parole officer, and he was horrible. He was very slimy. So yeah, and then he was in Line of Duty. So yeah, he's not getting typecast, hopefully. But yeah, so it stars Martin Compton, Vicky McClure, Adrian Dunbar, who's become Craig Parkson. He plays Matthew Cotton.
Yes. Dot.
These have become like known faces now. They're just sort of, well-known actors now because of Line of Duty.
Adrian Dunbar has sort of like been big, and then he went away, and see, this has now come back to him.
I didn't know what he'd been in, but he'd been in The Crying Game. There you go, just looking at his IMDb now. My Left Foot.
Mm.
These are big ones.
Big films back in the day.
Yeah. Can't say anything else. That's such a Touch of Cloth. Oh, that's a comedy one. That's a comedy. But yeah, he had a few big things there.
And also, he's brought back, going back to Ashes to Ashes, Keely Hawes has been, her career has been a bit rejuvenated by it.
Yeah,
and then,
absolutely.
Who was in Trainspotting?
Which one?
The little Scottish one.
Oh,
Kelly MacDonald. So again, she's been away from things a little bit. And
I don't know where. Can't place her face. I know where. Neil Morrissey was in it as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was in Trainspotting as Spud's, somebody's girlfriend.
Yeah.
She was like the one normal person in Trainspot. Everybody else was a smackhead.
Yeah. But just such a good programme. And a few good, like, is it, what's the lady's name who's, she's in Series 3. I can never pronounce her name. Oh, well, I can't think of it. Newton, what's her first name?
Olivia Newton.
Not Olivia Newton, but Tordy there.
Oh, Tandy.
Tandy's
not even forgotten about her. She's like in. Has she been in Bond or a Mission Impossible?
So. Something like that, yeah. So she's like an old big Hollywood star, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's been in all
films.
So, you know, they've got decent actors in it.
Yeah.
And the writing's brilliant. And there's two things I love about it. Obviously, the big thing which came about a couple of years ago when the last series came out was who was.
H.
I was going to say number six, then. I was like, what's
it? I mean, it was one of those things. It was, you know, you could just stick it on a billboard, who is H, and so many people didn't know what it was talking about.
Yeah. And I think, and without spoiling it, we do find out at the end of the series who H is. And I know there was a lot of controversy about it at the end. I loved it. I thought, that's perfect.
But
I don't want to say too much why, because I don't want to spoil it.
I think it was a little bit like the game, Game of Thrones, in that. It was massive. It was successful. People loved it. And when it came to an end, people just didn't like it. Full stop. End of. So no matter what you'd have done, people were going to say, and they weren't going to be happy because they had to finish it. It's just such a pity that they can't do something more.
Well, they've said they're going to do, or they're looking into doing a sequel. I don't want them to. Again, I want this to be. That's a perfect series for me.
But how many series did they have? They had
five or six, was it?
Yeah. So another one. Why can't they just have seven series?
Or just have it not connected?
Yeah.
So if they do it and it's like it's not connected, five.
Was H going from the very, very beginning? Did he?
No.
Was he in the background?
Well, yes.
And then he started coming in.
But the first time we heard about him was either series two or three. Well, it was late
and
on.
He was on a computer, wasn't he? Oh.
Okay, I can't remember. But yeah, that's the first time we knew there was someone pulling the strings.
Mm.
Love it, great series. Bit of a downside though, I forgot about Stephen Graham being in it, but he's brilliant, but plays himself. The lady who plays his wife,
you weren't fussed, were you?
Worst Scouse accent I've ever heard, and I have to listen to my own Scouse accent every day, and I hate that. But
and I'm sure she's quite a big actress as well.
I don't know, I'm assuming she was Irish, was she? Because it was filmed in Belfast, I think, that them sections.
I think that she was in The Witcher.
Don't know, not sure. Can't see her face on any of these.
I think she was the lady who
Amy de Bruyn, is it?
Who trained
Steph Corbett? Yeah, it'll be her, won't it?
Yeah, she. I'm sure she was the one who trained the sorcerers, the witches in The Witcher.
Mm.
So she's actually good, but this is the argument: is why didn't they just let her use her own accent?
Yeah.
Why did she have to be Scouse?
Yeah.
Just because she's from Liverpool,
yeah.
Or just because she's from the area and she's married to a Liverpudlian, Why did she have to be scouts? Yeah. Why did they do that?
Yeah, it's baffling. And it's, maybe they thought it sounded good, but it didn't. It didn't sound good. But anyway, it didn't spoil the series, but that's like a bit of a low point there. I'll tell you what does not spoil it, but is very aware of it as well with the Land Duty, and we talked about that at the time, is because it was filmed during COVID, you can tell it's filmed during COVID. Though they don't mention it and there's no masks and things like that,
yes, yeah.
You can tell. They're all outside. Like the last series, you know, they're driving down the roads and there's no cars. You know, they're all socially distanced and it's very obvious. I wouldn't mind going back and seeing that now because we're going back to watching things being, you know, people sat next to each other, people looking at it because, you know, COVID's near enough over. and going back and seeing how unusual it is. There are times, like things like when we watch Taskmaster now and you think, I wonder was this filmed during COVID restrictions because, you know, they look a bit distant, even though it's like the newest series, whatever. But yeah, Line of Duty, highly recommended. Brilliant, brilliant series.
And around the same time as Line of Duty, I can't remember if it was before or after, Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Which again was, Keely Hawes again, was...
Same writers, weren't it, as well?
It was just now, constantly being talked about.
Is that police, though? Because I don't think it is. I would class that more like the Secret Service.
Should we edit this?
Just edit this bit out.
Honourable mention, as we... That's right. What James used to say, wasn't
he
it?
He did.
Honourable
mention. Remember James? Well, one that is, again, a bit of a BBC one, but it's on BBC Two, is The Fall. Did you ever watch The Fall?
I'm going to say no.
This is a bit more... It's heading in towards the more like a bit of a murder mystery sort of serial killers.
I think Gillian Anderson. I think I may have. Did it have Jamie
Dornan? Yeah, from the
What's
the Grey things? What's it called? Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
So this is more like a bit of a serial killer chase, but it's so good. I still haven't seen the last series. It's the one series we haven't watched. So basically, it's set in Belfast, I believe. Yeah, and there's a serial killer going on in Belfast, and there's a policewoman, what is her role? Let me just see. DSU is Stella Gibson, played by Gillian Anderson, and she's investigating the crimes basically. But she's from the UK, so she's from London, and has been sent over to deal with the stuff that's going on in Belfast, and having to deal with the inverted commas, the troubles as they call it, as well as the serial killer and all the things that go with it. And you know what, I loved it. I think it's up there with Line of Duty of how good it is.
I like the way that it was in three series,
three or four, wasn't it?
The first one was sort of, this is what's going on, they're trying to catch him.
Yeah.
And then the second one was trying to pin it on him, I think.
Yeah,
and
that sounds...
It was like three separate, but
that's right, you're right.
One big long story.
If I remember correctly, and viewers and listeners can correct it if we're wrong, the first series is they're trying to find who he is because they don't know. Second series is they know who he is but they're trying to catch him. Yeah. And the third series I haven't seen.
Right.
So I'm assuming, like you say,
we'll be getting him.
But yeah, it's brilliant, well acted, well filmed, and it, you know, looks amazing, and it twists and turns all the time.
Yeah,
there's one scene that sticks out with me. The serial killer played by Jamie Dornan. Paul
and
Spector.
That's not spoiling.
No,
because
you
found
out
straight away.
He hides his stuff, like the incriminating evidence, in his little boy's bedroom, like in the loft above the kid's bed. And it's always stuck at me that he's a married man. I think his wife's pregnant at the time, or girlfriend's pregnant at the time. They've got a little kid, but he's doing these like terrible, terrible things. And you know what? It's like
creepy.
Yeah, it makes you shiver, doesn't it? But yeah, brilliant, brilliant show, The Fall. And it is on Netflix, I think, as well. If not on Netflix, it's definitely on BBC. Yeah. Good, good. Right, any more?
Well, I don't know. Is Sherlock allowed?
I would say no.
Because he was more a private detective?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I was thinking like things like Poirot as well.
Yeah, but yeah, because they both get the police involved, but it's not about them. Okay,
the
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Now I know we spoke about it, I thought James spoke about it the other week. Did you watch Happy Valley?
No,
I
want
neither.
To Claire's just watched it, she finished it when James was mentioning it, because I said right, I'm going to go home and watch it after James recommended it. And Claire goes, oh, I've seen it. And it's like, thanks a lot. So she said, I won't mind watching it again. So I need to do a better, I need to leave a bit of space for her to forget about. So maybe we could do something like Line of Duty.
But as James said in the past, it's outstanding. So he loved it, didn't he?
Yes.
And I think there was 3 series, was he? Something along those lines. And there was a massive gap between series
That's
two
right,
and three.
Yes.
And the kid grew up within it. Again, don't really story. Read the synopsis. Yorkshire-based crime drama centering on the personal and professional life of Police Sergeant Catherine Caywood. Or Carwood.
Sarah Lancashire.
Played by Sarah Lancashire. There you go. Of Coronation Street fame.
Yeah, God.
And it had loads of different famous. James Norton, you probably recognise his face. Don't really recognise the rest of them. George Costigan.
Another name.
You probably recognise him from a few things. But yeah, apparently, BBC drama, meant to be very, very good. Gets 8.5 on IMDb, so it must be on it.
So need to give that a go, definitely. 18 episodes, that can, we can do that.
Yeah, definitely. Any more that's sticking out?
There is one, again, going back to the 90s, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite brutal, Prime Suspect.
Oh, yeah.
And, it was... At the time, I think it was pushed because it was Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
And it was the... female in a stereotypical world.
Men's world,
maybe, I don't know, is Ashes to Ashes like that? Don't know.
It is, to be fair, it is a little bit like that. She's quite senior, but then does get undermined sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
But in Prime Suspect, Helen Mirren just stamps her, or the character stamps her authority on it.
Yeah.
It's like, she's there for a reason, and whether she's a male or female, it doesn't matter. She's just doing a job.
Yeah.
I don't remember when I watched it, which was when it was out. I don't remember much about it being an issue. I don't know. It's a little bit like what you said about
Sweeney.
No.
Oh.
Schitt's Creek, was it?
Oh,
about
yeah.
About the gay couple. It wasn't mentioned. It was like, this is part and parcel. But
yeah.
as a young person watching it, I would have been in my teens, late teens. I don't really remember it being an issue. And so it shouldn't be, but it was clearly highlighted.
Mm.
But God, it was one of the first things on ITV, I think it was, that was very gruesome, very, very gruesome.
Really?
And the way, you're not seeing it?
No, I remember it being on. It was a Sunday night or something like that, maybe. Not sure. I remember it being on the telly.
It's one of those things that everybody knows of.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's got to be a watch it, because it's absolutely cracking. What's the IMDb given?
Well, it's a bit. It's not like one series. It's like a few different.
Did they do a film as well?
They're doing it's organised into mini series. So the first mini series got 8.3.
Right.
Second one got 8.1. Oh, USA. Not gonna look at that one. Third one.
Oh, I see the way they do it. Yeah, and they're only one or two episodes. Two or three episodes each one.
Yeah.
So again, it's serial killer, and they have their prime suspect clearly, and they're trying to pin it on him or her.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any spoilers, but God, back in the day, in the 1990s, early 90s,
91 is it?
And it went on 3.5 hours total for 2 episodes. It was quite a long, hard slog, and it wasn't an easy watch. Linda LaPlante, of course, who's the writer, and she does a lot of stuff like that, and choice language in it, and just a great watch, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely one. Yeah, I'd like to go back and watch, because I know, like, Lorna loves these. She'd be an element. Yeah, she loves these sort of crime dramas and things like that. So yeah, I think she's seen it. I would love to go and see it. Won 4 BAFTAs, by the way. Let's see what it won. So won Best Drama, 92.
Mm,
Best Actress,
imagine.
Best Film Videography.
I never know how they
best
judge
editor.
That.
I know. Must be,
how can they
must
best
be
editor? It's like, well, where's all the stuff you got rid of? We
want
to watch
honestly,
that first.
But hang on, we should have kept that up. Yeah. There must be ways where you go, oh, that's really, oh, no, that's good editor.
Yeah.
There must be, mustn't he? We don't know. It got Best Actor for Tom Bell as well. Zoe Wanamaker was, nominee. Zoe Wanamaker was nominee as well. They're all nominees. Yeah, it's won a few BAFTAs, yeah.
Very, very good. Yeah. I think it was one of those. You know what? I'd go as far as say it was the Line of Duty in its day.
Yeah, it was, probably, yeah.
It was so big. And yeah, so it deserves to be.
Well, of a very similar vein, which I did watch, and you can decide whether this counts. What about Cracker?
You know what? As I was looking at that, I was thinking about Cracker, because who's the wife in Cracker? No, I was thinking it was Zoe Wanamaker. It wasn't.
Oh, right.
It's, I can see her face, but I don't know her name.
It's
no, we can
Geraldine Somerville, yeah. I assume.
No.
She's the police officer.
She was police.
The wife.
Harry Potter's mum. Mm, I don't know if she'll be. It. Yeah, she was in it. I think he was in it as well. She was in it, but not to be in that first role on IMDb, I don't think.
No.
Cracker, oh my God. Wow. That had such an effect on me when one of the main characters got murdered.
Oh yeah,
in the street.
Yeah,
in broad daylight, and it's like, oh my, and if I'd have drunk at the time, I would have had to have a whiskey at the time to settle my nerves, because it shocked me, and it was like, no, maybe it was the back in the day when big characters didn't get murdered or killed off or anything like that, and this main. Yeah, somebody got murdered.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Cracker, I'll read the synopsis. It's Dr. Edward Fitzgerald. He's a criminal psychologist. He's rather antisocial and obnoxious, but yes. He has a gift for solving crimes. Thus, he is employed as a consultant by the Manchester Police. Yeah. So, yeah, he's not a policeman, but he sort of works for them.
He's working in the police, so we are allowing it. And because I was thinking of it as we were looking at... Yeah. Prime suspect as well.
Yeah, I would think of that as a crime doctor. He's not just going off on his own, he's working with the police. I think that's it's class. But yeah, I remember watching this as a kid I don't remember too much about the stories, to be honest, but I remember him being very, you know, always smoking, always drinking.
Just manipulating people, because he was mind games, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And always like arguing with the police. But the one episode that sticks with me, and you know, I'm sure it does with a lot of people who live in Liverpool, is the Hillsborough episode. So there's one episode where there's a... Now, it's a long time since I've seen it, so I don't want to get it wrong, but I think he's a survivor of Hillsborough.
Right.
Or he's a Liverpool fan or something. He's connected to Liverpool, played by Robert Carlyle. But he's a murderer as well. He kills people. I think he's racist as well. And I just remember that being... I remember that happening as well, and sort of like... Obviously knowing a bit by Hillsborough, but remembering that as well. Mm. And him being a Liverpool fan... Because he ends up singing songs towards people and things like that, and being a bit of a wrong one. I remember that being in it. So I can't quite find what episode it is, but if I want to find the synopsis.
In each series, they had mini sort of stories. So, for example, in season 3, you've got Brotherly Love Part 1, then Brotherly Love Part 2 and Part 3, each about an hour. Yeah, it's difficult to actually pin things down.
Yeah, there you go, found it. So it's in series 2.
Yeah.
And it's called To Be Somebody, Part 1 and Part 2. Oh, yeah, 3 parts. So it says, working class man, distraught at the recent death of his father, impulsively becomes a skinhead and murders a Pakistani shopkeeper over a perceived insult. So yeah, I remember it being... Maybe it didn't have a connection to Hillsborough, but maybe I was just aware of it.
Yeah,
at the time, I don't know.
8.5 IMDb.
Yeah, but that episode, them episodes get 9.1. So yes. They're the ones that stick out. Yeah, but Robert Carlyle was unbelievable.
There's his wife, Barbara Flynn.
Oh yeah, recognise her face.
So that's why, nothing like Zoe Wanamaker. Do you remember there was an incident with Jimmy Beck as well? Do you remember that?
I recognise his face, but don't recognise what going on. Or you don't want to say too much?
I can't say too much.
Yeah.
But there was a little bit of, he caused a little bit of an issue in the department.
That does sound familiar now you're saying it, yeah. Again, it's one of them, wouldn't man goes back to see a cracker?
We started watching it. Mm. We started watching it with Maddie, and it was just pinning her down to watch anything at the moment. Yeah, it's not happening.
It's teenagers for you, man. Teenagers
Yeah. And of course, it's got Ricky Tomlinson in it as well.
Of course,
Is he one of the bosses in it?
That does sound familiar. I remember it was Christopher Eccleston in it as well.
Yeah.
So it's got a few decent characters.
Sort of like the young, fresh-faced one who nobody thought was... He wasn't time-served police, if you know what I mean. And I don't think the others really liked him in it.
Right.
But he eventually got liked, and it was... Bill Brandt. DCI Bilbra, that's who the character he played.
Mm.
There's so much good. You know what? It's not a lot of negatives here.
No.
In general, in this pod.
Yeah. Well, I suppose we're not mentioning the baddies. I suppose you haven't seen all the baddies. Well, what would you? Yeah, go on. What would you say?
I alluded to trigger point, but yeah, that was bomb. No, that was bomb disposal. Bomb disposal.
Mm.
So was that within the police? Maybe. So that's. Oh, there was another one. Vigil that was playing on from the writers of Line of Duty.
Oh, yeah.
I did not like that.
Yeah.
So that was.
Was that on submarine?
Yes, Saran right, Jones, yeah. Who's a the police officer, and she's brought in by the Navy, or she has to investigate a killing of Martin Crompson.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember if it was in the submarine or in the barracks or something like that. And it's like, but hang on a second, the Navy have got their own police. They would never bring in. And straight away, I'm just like criticizing it, looking for faults. And she's trying to overrule the commander on the submarine, and it's like it's just total rubbish. And unfortunately, yeah, didn't do anything for me. I know we talked about it when we were doing what you've been watching, and it was on.
Yeah,
and it's things
didn't
like
it at all.
It's things like they were driving along the road. So many cliches as well. So many cliches. The awful, and it was a bit disgraceful, a tick box for some sort of LGBTQ
plus. Yeah.
There was just a tick box in there. So Saran Jones played a gay character, but there was no reason. It was like they were just doing it for the sake of doing it. And I thought that didn't sit right with me.
Yeah. So she could have been gay, but not mention it.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
It was irrelevant.
It was really...
Whereas, you don't go...
It was constantly...
She's straight. Yeah, yes. You wouldn't say.
Yeah. It was constantly being mentioned. And I thought, is this just so they're appeasing certain audiences? I didn't like the way it was done because it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that including that gender orientation was unnecessary. I'm saying the way in which they did it, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It was a bit forced, and yeah.
You didn't either. I was going to say then, like, I'm not seeing it in playing devil advocate. Is it like a play on with it being the Navy? Is there a stigma in the Navy of being homosexual? You know what I mean? That sort of thing.
I don't think so.
No.
Was it
playing on that maybe? You know, like you know, not that it happens in real life. I'm sure it does. It's some everywhere, doesn't it? Is it like throwing that in, saying, well, there's a
that old fashioned, that stereotypical connotation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think didn't like it.
It wasn't that. There was another bit about when they were going down the road, and it was a coast road, and all of a sudden they ended up the car veered off the road, and the car seemed to end up crashing into the sea, like about half a mile out into the sea or the lake or the lock or whatever it was. Like, how the hell did the car end up there? Because she's swimming it. Yeah, just awful.
Not good. Well, I've just typed into Google here, so I've got to apologise here, because I'm looking at the list of best British police dramas, and Bodyguard's on the list, and it's because it tells the story of a police sergeant suffering from PTSD after his time in the military. So it is a police drama.
Right.
Do you want to talk about The Bodyguard?
No.
All right, then. So. No, it was all right, though, wasn't it?
But he's come out of the police. So it's not really police.
Oh, he's back in the police.
Oh, is he back
in the
police?
He was in the military, but now he's in the police. That's what it is.
Right.
And he's protecting this minister, isn't he? And
yes, yeah.
They have relations. Your
ministers have your police protection, I suppose. So, you know what? The thing is, I can't really remember Bodyguard. Good God,
yeah.
I'm getting it very crossed over with Line of Duty.
Yeah,
because I had it in my head when I was about to bring it up. It's Keely Hawes again, isn't it? Now,
yeah.
She was in Line of Duty.
She was,
and he was
from Game of Thrones.
It was Game of Thrones, wasn't it?
Yeah, can't remember his name.
Oh gosh,
Richard Madden.
Yeah. So he's Rob Stark, was he?
Yeah, one of the Starks.
And it was probably his first one that he
was after it, I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, his first big role. Yeah.
But I liked The Bodyguard. And again, it's done. Don't need to go any further. It's like, no, that's fine.
No, I think that
story's
finished.
Done. Just carry on. Yeah.
I think going back to why we... Line of Duty, they could continue because it was corruption within the police.
Yeah.
So, okay, the H story is finished. If they try and revisit the H story, it's like, no. Don't bother. I don't want an I or a J. Let's just have a brand new, fresh story.
Yeah.
But Bodyguard now, I can't remember too much because I've sort of like wiped that from my memory after you said no.
Yeah.
After you cut me down.
I apologise. There is a... I don't want to spoil it, but there is a massive twist in that series, isn't he? About halfway through. With the Bodyguard. I don't want to say too much more.
I'm struggling it. I'm struggling to remember it now.
Because you might go and watch it again, but anyway. There's one I haven't seen, so I wasn't going to mention it, but a lot of people did love it at the time. Did you watch Broadchurch?
We are in the middle of watching them.
Ah, what's that?
It's sort of samey, but trying to make it different. So they're going to do it on a seaside resort. New police person coming into an already established team, causing a little bit of friction.
Sounds familiar.
But that's
the trope, and that's what you like. You like these stories.
Maybe it works, and of course, eventually he'll. I mean, what I suppose I like about it is the character who's playing the one who's always been there. Gosh, she was in The Crown. She played the Queen.
Olivia Colman.
Yes.
David Tennant.
So Olivia Colman, she's been there. She's been in the police station for a while, and David Tennant's character comes in and he tries to, but she's trying to get on with him, and they're at each other's throats, but there's still a mutual respect. There's no grudges being held, and she's sort of like, they're having an argument, and she goes, right, well, do you want to come for dinner? And he goes, well, what? Why are you asking me for dinner? He said, because you're my boss, and I've got to ask you if you want to come for dinner. I don't want to, but my husband wants. And it brings. I like her character. She brings in a little bit of comedy to it, and I suppose David Tennant bounces off it a little bit because he's like still living in like a hotel room because he's just been dumped there. Yeah, we need to keep going on with it because it is one of those it's one of the more modern ones that's mentioned a bit, isn't it?
8.4 on IMDb, so it's as good as the ones we've mentioned already. There's a lot of 8s and 8.4s, 5s and so on. Three series, and they're all on Netflix, Eddie?
They're all on whatever I've been watching. Could it be ITVX?
Ah, yeah, it'd be on that one. Yeah.
But you know what? I'm finding ITVX's navigation getting a bit annoying. We can't find a continue watching.
Yeah, it needs that. I thought that
it used to have it, and now it's vanished. Yeah. So Poirot, for example, which has got 13 seasons, and it's like this is what it's like. It's pressed to the right. Oh, I'll move to the right. You can't go season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You can't go all the way to 13. You've got to wait until it moves to 2, and then wait until. It's doing my head, and then it makes you want to try something on Netflix instead.
Yeah.
Where you've got to pay another £5 now a month.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Cheek. I always thought, how are they going to do it? But they're based off your Wi-Fi IP address. So if it's not in the same household, it's not in the same network.
Yeah.
Well, what if you've got a big house and you need
loads of
Wi-Fi repeaters? yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, the sneaky auntie. I mean, my dad's got my Netflix password and he hasn't said it's turned off yet, so we'll see. It must have stopped working, but it's what it is. Never mind. Broadchurch, for those who don't know, by the way, just the story, it says the murder of a young boy in a small coastal town brings a media frenzy which threatens to tear the community apart. So that's one of the reasons I've not watched it as well. Anything where kids are getting killed, basically, all
things,
I'm not down for that anymore. Like, not that I was anyway. I used to be able to stomach these things, and these days it's just like, I don't want to watch it.
The worst thing I saw was, I think it was called, it was one of the Tartan Terror things. I can see the Lady Vengeance, I'm going to say.
Okay.
And, oh God, it was horrible because they had videos of kids crying and asking for their parents, and this is by the whoever was keeping them captive.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so genuine. Oh, soul destroying.
Yeah.
Because these kids were sobbing, and it, because it was in a foreign language, maybe it added to it because it was in Japanese or Mandarin, I don't know. But it was awful because these kids were pleading for their mums and dads to come back. No, not very nice, not very nice at all.
No.
Can't watch that film, although it's an amazing film.
Is it?
Yeah, I need to see Tartan Terror. Lady Vengeance, I think it's
isn't
called.
There a few of them? I feel like I've seen... I've got some of them.
Yeah. Well, it's going back to like the original The Grudge. That sort of like got me into all of those Japanese horrors, which are so much better than the Eastern counterpart. Not counterpart, but the Eastern version. Or Western, hang on.
Western. We're West, aren't we?
Naughty Elephant Squirrel. Yes. the Western ones are rubbish, and the Japanese horror's just fantastic. But we're digressing here. I'd like to, one last, oh, I don't know if we're near the end, but I'll say one last honourable mention for what I mentioned the other day, which is Unforgotten.
Yes.
About the cold cases where they stumble across a body and they realise it's been a cold case that's been rediscovered. And if you want to hear more about that, you're going to have to listen to the last
episode. What have you been watching?
Episode, yeah. That I wanted to binge watch, and I haven't used that word for a lot of the time. The last thing I was binge watching was Game of Thrones, probably Line of Duty as well.
Yeah.
But this, I wanted to binge watch. It's like it's 10 to 2 in the morning. Can we do another one? Type of thing. And it's I would have happily watched them over and over and over again. Mm. They were really, really good.
And
so,
are they on ITVX?
I think so.
That is ITV, The Unforgotten, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, as I say, I typed in best British crime dramas. So this is the list. This is what Variety think anyway. So this is not definitive. This is not our list. This is just Variety. So they've said, and I think it's from an American point of view because they're talking about it being on Amazon USA and things like that.
Right.
So number one, Line of Duty.
Good.
Number two, Unforgotten.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Number three is The Fall.
Okay.
Number four, Happy Valley. So we've mentioned all these. Five, Broadchurch. Six, CB Strike.
Sorry?
CB Strike. Now, I think this is on Channel 5 in the UK.
CB Strike?
CB and Strike, yeah.
Never. So I've never even heard of that. But
Camoran Blue Strike is a charismatic yet grumpy guy with a checkered past and a war injury, but he's also a hell of a detective. So there you go.
Right, so if you IMDb it, you don't get anything, but you do get Strike. Now,
so I think, maybe it's called that.
Yes, it's called Strike.
Yeah.
7.9.
So it doesn't sound too bad. Oh, yeah, it says the show aired as 4 seasons on the BBC in the UK. I didn't say.
Directed by Susan Tully, who was in EastEnders and Grange Hill.
Oh,
and
she's
directing quite a lot of things, and it's like, oh, God, it's directed by her. She's done... what else has she done? I know we've mentioned her as a director before. And my phone is dying on me. It's not letting me.
It's playing the bugger.
But, yeah.
So there's that one there. So I'll just go to this and see what you think of it and see if you've seen them. So number seven, The Bodyguard, or Bodyguard. Number eight, Shetland. I think that was on Channel 5 as well.
I'm going to assume it's based up in Scotland.
Yeah.
Up
based
in the Shetland
on,
Islands.
Based on mystery novels by Anne Cleves, who also wrote the novels Vera. It's based on this 6-season series has a strong sense of place due to its setting on the old Scottish Islands. Yeah, never seen it. It looks familiar, but I've never seen it. But apparently it's you know.
Susan Tully directed one of the Line of Duties.
Did she? Wow.
Yeah, so that's possibly why we've mentioned her in the past.
Like it. So number nine is Vera. Do you ever watch Vera?
No.
I just don't
fancy
that at all.
It doesn't look appealing.
Doesn't, does it? So she's sort of a bit of an older detective, isn't she?
So are we in the wrong there?
Probably. We tend to be wrong quite often, Richard. Number 10, Vigil. So they've said Vigil's good life. 11, The Capture.
The Capture.
Never heard this one.
No.
No, not that one. 12, Traces.
No.
That's got Martin Crompton in it. No, hang on, what's... I don't get this one. This one's called Jiri or Haji. Jiri Haji. It means duty and shame in Japanese, and the 8-episode series is a fascinating mix of a Japanese crime story and a proper British police yarn. Not right. I might try to check that one out. That sounds interesting.
Just going back to the capture, 7.9 again.
Oh,
and it's on. It's on. What's that? iPlayer.
BBC iPlayer.
Yeah.
The Stranger.
Never
heard of it. It's on Netflix,
apparently. You see, the thing is, I think we're getting away from police-based things that they're talking about. The Stranger was the...
Is that more of a serial killer or something like that?
I can see it, and it was one of the writers. It's always Corbin something is one of the writers, and he was... It was like, you know, Jed Mercuro, is it?
Oh, yeah.
For Line of Duty. His name was always used, so it's like, here's the latest one by... this person, his latest story.
Well, here's what it says. This is on this Variety website. It says, the beheading of an alpaca, a fake pregnancy, enough cliffhangers to fill the Grand Canyon. This is only be a Harlan Coben story.
Harlan Coben, is that who it is? That's him.
And indeed, the 8-part series is based on his 2015 novel. There you go.
See, Stranger's 7.3. Now, we've mentioned a lot that are bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's all right, but it's not... It's more...
Oh, did you watch
police
it again?
Police are involved, yeah. Yeah. And there's like a sequel, which is called another one of his stories.
Mm.
The stranger is sort of like, is somebody who seems to know about you. So the stranger is the person in the story, and they seem to know a lot about you. And it's like, how does this person know a lot about me? And she just keeps sort of like cropping up and disappearing and cropping up. And it's like, what's going on?
Good.
But yet, not really police. The not police are involved.
One. I think the criteria is changing a little bit this one. So number 15, Sherlock. We said we're not going to talk about that one. 16 was the River, just River it's called. Never heard of it. It's got Stellan Skarsgård in it.
Oh, right. Yeah. And that's what they're calling British.
Apparently so. And then 17, Marcella.
Mm.
Remember that being on Anna Friel. 18, DCI Banks. Watch that one. Watch a few of them. They were quite good. What's his name? Stephen Tomkinson. Just a basic, you know, police procedural drama.
Yeah.
Inside Man. That's currently on Netflix, isn't it?
Is that anything to do with the film?
I don't think so. It says, in this compact 4-episode mystery from Doctor and Sherlock show writer Stephen Moffat, the Doctor himself, David Tennant, is a vicar and family man who quickly gets himself in a sticky situation when his son's math tutor... goes missing.
Stanley Tucci is the
Hannibal Lecter esque murderer on death row.
This looked right. We watched the first one of those.
Ah.
So I know we talked about not talking about turkeys. You see, I had to go to therapy to get this banished from my. It was awful. I have talked about this one. It's about so the priest has a laptop which has got porn on it, and his sort of like. His priest helper.
His boss. Oh, right.
No, his priest helper says sort of like says, "Oh, my mum will kill me." And I think he's got some sort of special needs. I think I might be wrong there, but he's, I don't know. Anyway, he gives him the laptop, and then the maths tutor of the priest's son uses the laptop to try and get onto the network, finds that he's got porn on it, something like that. It's a USB, sorry, and it's just stupid things happen. The priest, to get the USB off her, ends up pushing her down the basement stairs. And it's just like, no, you're not getting it, you're not getting it. And it's like, well, we need to do this. And it was just another one of those where I just thought, this is just not realistic. Mm. You wouldn't, in that situation, you wouldn't act like that. Because he knew it had porn on it, but he didn't realise it was... child pornography.
Right.
But the way in which he acted, when he found out it was, it's like he was still trying to shield his helper because he had special needs.
Right.
And it's like, well, now you, at some point you got to draw the line.
Yeah.
Whether you're a priest. But no, at some point you got to draw the line.
He just kept going.
And he kept defending. Yeah. And she was like, no, we need to let the police know. So, yeah, that's why we watched one episode and it's like, no, this is just dreadful.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
Okay. Might not have tried that then. But you never know. People have said it's got... Do you know what it is on IMDb, any chance?
Is it 7.3?
Was it 7.3? So, yeah.
I don't know. I might be wrong.
So some people seem to like it, but yeah.
But they liked Vigil though, didn't they?
True, that is true.
And it was in the top 10, I think. Yeah. It was in the top 10. So that, that was just Inside Man. Yeah, as soon as you said it was he as a priest, David Tennant as the priest. But yeah, the Stanley Tucci character seemed... It was good, but so bad at the same time.
Right.
The Stanley Tucci version was like really good. And then the English version...
Oh, is it based on... is it American...
Yeah, I'm sure they were in America. A Prisoner on Death Row in the US. Yeah. Yeah, so it goes on now, and this is one of the premises. It goes on, he actually trapped her in the cellar. So he didn't let her out. Right. So as well as pushing her down the step, imprisoned her in the cellar. Because, of course, you'd do that. Instead of dobbing somebody in for blinking something that's way illegal.
That they shouldn't have done, yeah.
Yeah, no matter how... Yeah, 6.6. There we go.
Yeah. A prisoner on death row in the US and a woman trapped in a cellar. Under an English vicarage. Cross paths
under an English vicarage. In an idyllic countryside location.
Mad, isn't it? Mad. Right, okay. I think we've mentioned all we need to.
Yes.
So, question. If you had to go send people away to watch, should we go for one?
I think there's one obvious answer.
Go on. What would you send them off to watch?
Line of Duty.
Line of Duty is the best.
It is amazing.
Well, if you say Line of Duty...
We need a second one because we're both going to... Hang on, are we agreeing on that?
We agree on Line of Duty, yeah.
Okay, so we need to go
for
the next one.
That's the best for me.
And it's so far in the lead.
Yeah, but for police procedural drama, if you get a chance, watch The Bill. I'm going to recommend The Bill.
Yeah, although it might be outdated because now there's loads of paperwork.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as interesting, would it, just watching people sitting at desks doing the work. Well, wouldn't you get any paper, would they, just on computers?
Yes.
Like that all the time. Cup of tea? Yeah, cup of tea, yeah. Two sugar, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so The Bill, would you recommend one more? Go on.
I'm going to harp on about Unforgotten again, sorry.
Unforgotten.
So there you go. You know what?
There's a few goodies. Yeah. I think Unforgotten's a good shout because you really like that. Yeah. You seem to really, really like that.
Yes.
So.
And the Americans on Variety did as well.
They did too.
It was the second one, wasn't it? It was. After Line of Duty, but there you go.
Yeah. Perfect. There we go. We are in agreement.
Yeah. Great.
Brilliant. Oh, well, thanks for listening, everybody. Really, really do appreciate all your listens. If you've liked what you listened to today, can you please share us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter? Tell your friends, amuse your enemies. Tell everyone about Chat and Flicks and see if they want to give it a listen. And we would really appreciate it because we're getting more listens. We are getting more listens.
Too right.
So if you do get in contact, we're on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Or you can email us chatandflickshotmail.com. Next episode is probably going to be wearing a lot of leather.
I beg your pardon. We need to
it's
look
just a normal
Matrix,
Saturday night, isn't it?
We need to look at The Matrix.
We're probably going to look at The Matrix.
Yeah, as the films to see before you die. Number. Yeah, we'll edit that.
It's about 15, 14, 15.
Yeah, because we're quite far into it.
Yeah, we're doing well.
Backtracking. So for those who've not listened about this, we're backtracking the top films of all time, top 100 or 250. Depends on how long we last. So we started at number one and then we're going backwards. And we're up to The Matrix, which is incredible.
Well, controversial, if I can get the list up in time, Into the Spider-Verse. When we talked about it the other day, it was 9.1, whatever it is. It's on 9 currently now, so it's currently sitting in 11th position. Now, we think that'll change, but that means we're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah, but it's on a similar...
I know, the cinema.
And I'm too mean to spend money and go to the cinema.
Well, yeah, according to this, The Matrix is number 17.
Right.
So.
Okay.
It does change.
Is there anything bumped it down? Anything else apart from Spider-Man?
Not that I can see.
No.
No, it looks all...
Gosh, I just didn't think we'd done that many films. So we've done 15. 16 has now been bumped and 17 is the next one.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
The listeners will be going, now, Richard, you got that wrong.
We understand, Richard, we don't know.
Yeah. It's like the 20th century, it's actually 1900 and something.
Yes.
So we're in the 21st, although it's 20. Yeah, but I don't get
But
it.
We digress anyway. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.